When Hillary Clinton released her book, It Takes a Village, she actually became a bit of a target for, you know, late night comedians, politicians, pundits who all sort of made fun of the perspective suggested by the book's title. And you may also remember that Barack Obama's suggestion that there are no self-made businesses or leaders, well, you might remember that didn't exactly go over very well, and he was attacked. He was attacked for not valuing the individualistic nature of American capitalism. Now, just from those examples, and there's plenty of other examples, but just from those examples, you can begin to see that as a society, those of us in the U.S. tend not to like hearing that we need that we need the help and support of others in order to be successful. It would seem that we want to believe that we can solve our own problems without the assistance of other people. The rugged individualism that the nation was partly founded upon, well, it's come head to head with the long time reality that humans are drawn to and need community. Now, the thing is, for a community to be healthy, it needs compassion. If you wish for your community to be cohesive and durable, it frequently requires an awareness and placing of the needs and the concerns of others ahead of your own. And I am here to tell you, compassion can be hard work. To some degrees, it requires the sacrifice of an individual's wants and desires. And few of us, it would seem, are willing to give those up. Of course, the problem then is that the rugged individualism so prevalent in our society runs counter to the compassion needed for a cohesive and durable community. And as I mentioned, it seems like we tend not to like hearing that we need the help and support of others in order to be successful. It would seem that we want to believe that we can solve our own problems without the assistance of others. Now, to sort of continue that thought, we also seem to have sort of reversed that way of thinking so far that many folks in America expect others to be able to solve their own problems without the assistance of others. Even when they're struggling, even when the system is stacked against them and designed to keep them down. I've even heard those who do ask for help being called un-American. Can you believe that? I know most of us really can, and sadly so can I. That kind of rugged individual lays a fertile foundation for the growth of narcissism. And such an approach to life and community feeds the growing phenomenon of us against them. And it increases the sense of isolation, the sense of isolation that many people experience today. Whether the issue is healthcare, gun control, gun ownership, taxes, religious beliefs, military tactics, or a change in cultural values, our growing narcissism as a nation and rugged individualism are basically just, they're ripping society apart. And that kind of narcissism feeds an anger and a sense of disenfranchisement among many folks. And in turn, it allows compassion to be painted as an act of weakness. We've heard it before, snowflakes. We even, just yesterday at our rally, had someone in a a more crass way talking about how he was not weak, but we were. All of it is not necessary, and the compassion we really need is the opposite of rugged individualism. The reality is that communities can still be healthy even with the presence of rugged individualism. The problem is that the only way that can happen is with the presence of compassion. Without compassion, without the recognition of other people's basic human rights and dignity, you get folks who will fight to protect what they perceive to be their own personal rights without any regard to the impact, the cost, that doing so will have on others. And that's a formula for anarchy. What we need is to develop a hermeneutic of love. In her book entitled Born Forward Ceaselessly into Love, a theory of hermeneutics of love exemplified by Martin Luther King Jr., Jennifer Salig uses the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to describe the theory of hermeneutic of love and to show what a hermeneutic of love looks like in practice. And this is her sort of loose definition of a hermeneutic of love. She says, quote, a way of interpreting experiences and people with love, through love, and for love. And then she goes on to talk about how King interprets with, through, and for love, utilizing the definition of agape love as used by the Greeks. King actually talked about that form of love in his sermon entitled Loving Your Enemies. Now, I've replaced his use of the word men with the word humanity here, but here's what he says. The Greek language comes out with another word for love. It is the word agape, and agape is more than eros. Agape is more than phila. Agape is something of understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all of humanity. It is a love that seeks nothing in return. It is an overflowing love. It is what theologians would call the love of God working in the lives of humanity. And when you rise to that level of love, you begin to love humanity, not because they are likable, but because God loves them. You look at every man and you love them because you know that God loves them. And even if he might be the worst person you've ever seen. The reality is God doesn't need to be in the picture to make this work. As one of my friend's bumper stickers says, people can be good without God. Agape love can be entirely about a humanistic outlook on life, a valuing of all people, a recognition of the need for basic human dignity and rights. A hermeneutic of love, understanding what you experience in life through the constant filter of agape love, I mean, it may seem like an overly simplistic pie in the sky idea, but I am here to tell you, there's nothing simple about it. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes constant vigilance. But I hope that our earlier consideration of the difficulty of having only rugged individualism within communities points to why it's so important that we try, that we work towards having compassion on top of it. And the good news is that practicing a hermeneutic of love necessarily opens us to having a more global identity as we recognize the basic human dignity and rights of the people around the world. And if there is one thing the world needs now, well, in my opinion, it's exactly that. A new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you're also to love one another. And by this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's take a moment and pray. Good and gracious God, we sometimes struggle to love the way we should. We sometimes allow our relationships become disploitive, exploitative, even destructive. We gossip and slander. We belittle and bully at times. We even find ourselves wanting vengeance. Remind us that these things, that way of being, points to a systemic problem. That way of being comes into our lives through systems of power, privilege, greed, and other measures of earthly success. Help us see through our limited vision. May we recognize that our pursuit of these earthly successes, our desire to live life how we want to, frequently causes others in the world to suffer. May we move away from distancing and distorting relationships with our friends and family and our faith community. Continue to call us to a more loving way. May we clothe ourselves in compassion and reach out to those in need and strive to understand their struggles and difficulties. Continue to call us to a more loving way. May we move toward nurturing and valuing relationships by practicing the greatest commandment to love God and to love others. Continue to call us to a more loving way. May we hear and respond to your call to a more loving world, and may we be ever more mindful of practicing that love with each person we meet. Amen.